Hey everybody, this is Scott and you're listening to Food for Thought for 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3. If you don't have those few verses fresh in your mind, go read those real quick and then come back to get the most out of this time together. So just to set up some context for where we're going to be, certainly in these few verses, but also just for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. I want to cue up just some context for this actually by reading the first paragraph under original meaning on page 242 of the NIV application commentary books that I got you guys, because it just kind of tees up where we're going better than I could by rambling. So this is what the author writes. He says, Paul, beginning with 1 Corinthians 12:1, he now resumes addressing issues clearly raised by the Corinthians in their letter to him, which is something that we don't have. But the theme of behavior and worship carries over from chapter 11. The Corinthian services were somewhat chaotic, and the more libertine wing was apparently equating spirituality with the exercise of more spectacular gifts. Chapter 12 thus insists on the need for diversity of gifts within the unity of the body. Chapter 13 then stresses that without love, the gifts are worthless. Chapter 14 then focuses on two of the more controversial gifts, prophecy and tongues, telling the Corinthians to prefer the former to the latter because of its more immediate intelligibility, and giving guidelines for the use of each so as to promote order in the church. So that is what Craig L. Blomberg says from the NIV application commentary. And yeah, it's important to note not just kind of where we're going, but as we're walking through the next few chapters, and certainly these first few verses of 1 Corinthians 12, that we are now talking about the church gathered together. Paul, as he's talking about the gifts, he does not have a very individualistic thing in mind. He is thinking about gathered worship, the church being together, the local church being together, what that looks like collectively. That's an important context as we walk through the next few weeks. Also, for these few verses in particular, just to be reminded of Paul's audience, it is the church in Corinth, which was made up certainly of Jewish believers, but also Gentile believers. And for Gentile believers, they were very familiar with other religions, worshiping pagan gods, other things that they were led to by mute idols, or however else they were led, as Paul sort of infers here in the first few verses in chapter 12. So what Paul's doing here in this opening part of chapter 12 is basically just saying, hey, there is a way to distinguish between the voices, the voice of the Holy Spirit and these idols that don't say anything. They're actually mute, but people would love to lead you to them anyway. So he's trying to set up almost on the front end of things, a test to distinguish between what is of the Spirit truly and what isn't. So just to be mindful of that as we go forward. So in terms of content in these first few verses, first of all, Paul just says that we should be informed about spiritual gifts, or spiritual things is another way that you could actually interpret that, which is a little bit broader in scope. But we get to be informed. In other words, like things of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit, these are not beyond our understanding, which sometimes we think that they are beyond knowable. We can't really discern them. You can't get your hands around them at all. But he says that he wants us to be informed about them. He wants us to understand something about these gifts or these spiritual things. So that's a pretty big deal. Secondly, he says that the Spirit leads people to Jesus, while other things will lead people elsewhere. And so this is kind of getting in the weeds of this test that Paul is sort of giving to distinguish between what is really the Holy Spirit and what isn't. First, he says that the Spirit's never going to deny Jesus. He's never going to say that Jesus is accursed in any way, shape, or form. And he's also going to say that that it always exalts Jesus. The Holy Spirit always exalts Jesus. He says that he's Lord. So it will never deny stuff that's true about Jesus, and it will always exalt and worship him as Lord, as God, as King. So this is just on the front end, a very easy way to distinguish between some of the spirits that they were encountering then and that we might encounter today as people talk and say that they're speaking for God, or that God told them something, or that they're a prophet, or that they're whatever. This is really, at the end of the day, this is the biggest, most important hurdle to clear, is what do these voices say about Jesus? And the Holy Spirit will always speak and affirm truth about who Jesus really is. So, and this is almost like a sub point of this, but it's like a really big deal, is that what's being said here is that the Spirit still speaks, that he was speaking not just through Scripture, but he was speaking through people, not necessarily revealing this like special revelation, something that's on the same level of Scripture at all, but that the Spirit still speaks, and he speaks about Jesus, and he speaks through us to other people about Jesus. That's a big deal. The third kind of big point here is this, that we are then, because of that, we are the speaking idols. We aren't mute idols. We are images of God, imbued and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak about Jesus, to lead people to him. And so, man, we ought to attest to Jesus in our life, and that only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked before in different venues about how obviously one of the reasons that we should not worship idols, and idols are bad, and God tells us to never make them, never fashion them, never to bow down, don't put them in his presence. He tells us that because he doesn't want us to chase after false gods. But the other part of that is that he has already made images of himself, and that is you and me, and we are not mute. We get to speak, and the Lord still speaks. He does, while these like idols that are either made of, you know, golden calves or statues of other stuff or wood or whatever, they're not filled with any kind of power at all. God has literally put the power of the Holy Spirit in us. He has put God himself inside of us to cause us to speak and to attest to the good things about Jesus. And so we are not mute idols. We are speaking images indwelt and empowered by the Spirit. That's like a pretty big deal. That's pretty sweet. So affirm this idea that we see in Scripture before we move on to the next bit, is that we do see that the Spirit speaks through his people, which is a pretty big deal. This is not, again, on the same level of Scripture, but it is the Spirit speaking, pointing people to Jesus. And so just some questions that you might want to ask as you are introducing this and welcoming people to start thinking about this in your own group is honestly just kind of opening up and asking folks what their experience is with the gifts. What is their experience with people maybe saying that they've heard God say things, or that they do believe that God speaks? What do people mean maybe when they say that? Ask them if they believe that the Lord is still speaking in some way, and why do they think that, or why don't they think that? How does this text hit on that in some way? How would you know whether it's the Lord speaking or someone or something else? Those are really good questions to ask. Also, just what is the point maybe of spiritual gifts and all these things? And we'll get into that more as we get into the rest of chapter 12. But what are these things about? Just on the front end, the first few verses, what can we learn about these spiritual things or the work of the Spirit? What is it really all about at the end of the day? And then how does this shape the way that we think about discipleship, the way that we worship and we think about evangelism? I know maybe there's not a connection there, but if we're looking at this passage and seeing that it is actually the Holy Spirit that is the one in us declaring that Jesus is Lord, and that we can't do that apart from him, then that tells us something about the nature of discipleship, of sharing the gospel with somebody, of even our own worship, that it is interconnected and impossible without the Holy Spirit. And so what does that mean for the way that we go about just our regular Christian life, the Great Commission and daily life within the church? What does this kind of introduce to us here? So just some things to think about. At the end of the day, I would just encourage you to leave your folks with the fact that we are images of God, not mute, but we are images of God indwelt by God, who speaks and tells people, points people to the worship and glory of Jesus Christ. And so that's a pretty sweet thing to send your folks out with. And that's what I would send you out with as you're listening to this today. Go knowing that you are an image of God, that by grace and grace alone, God has invited you into his family, placed his Spirit within you, and is currently causing you to walk in his ways and speak the great and good things about Jesus. So thanks for listening. Hope this is helpful, and see you next time.